Item three, you have two forms of minutes in your packet. One was for the budget hearing, that'd be three A. I make a motion to approve the minutes of the budget hearing as presented.
Commissioner Cochran?
Yes.
Commissioner Story?
Yes.
Commissioner Garvelia?
Yes.
Commissioner Case?
Yes. And then three B, the other set is the minutes from the regular meeting. The only thing I had was it would have been resolution 2504. So that goes in the gap right there. Outside of that, nothing else, I make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Commissioner Cochran?
Yes.
Commissioner Story?
Yes.
Commissioner Garvelia?
Yes.
Commissioner Case?
Yes. Commissioner Garvelia, public property report?
I have no purchase orders and nothing to report other than on Twin Oaks, still waiting on some materials to come in to do the job there. But he's going to get in there and patch some areas to keep it from leaking. He should even try to get out there tomorrow. That's all I have.
Commissioner Cochran, streets and improvements?
Have no purchase orders tonight. I have two pool adjustments. One for David Hurley, 306 East Bond Street, make a motion to approve that.
Commissioner Cochran?
Yes.
Commissioner Story?
Yes.
Commissioner Garvelia?
Yes.
Commissioner Case?
Yes.
I have another one for Kelly Sullivan at 607 East Webster, make a motion to approve that.
Commissioner Cochran?
Yes.
Commissioner Story?
Yes.
Commissioner Garvelia?
Yes.
Commissioner Case?
Yes.
Have no late lot leaves, I'd just like to give a little update on the council. The council, we met with IDOC and city officials last week. Chief was there, county engineer about some things, bypasses. We discussed a lot of things at that meeting. While I was there, I asked the engineers from IDOC if they would send us a list of all the projects and updates. And they did, they emailed it to me. So we're meeting with our engineer tomorrow. And by next, in 2 weeks, I'll have you as an update of time, possibly of when these projects could be started, so.
Awesome.
Okay?
Awesome.
That's all I have.
Awesome, thank you, Commissioner Cochran. Public Health and Safety, Commissioner Story?
Yes, I got one purchase order from Dave Schmidt for 803 repair. And that is a 1995 engine for $5,467.92. I make a motion to accept that.
Second.
Commissioner Cochran?
Yes.
Commissioner Story?
Yes.
Commissioner Garvelia?
Yeah.
Commissioner Case?
Yes.
And B, approval of testing for the fire department employment. What I would like to do, first of all, before I turn it loose to the fire chief, I'd like to see the PD and the fire department test at one time to save us some money. So Shane, if you'll tell what way you want to test now for?
Sure. Yeah, so just real quick, give you a synopsis of over the past, we test every 2 years. There's an eligibility list created. That eligibility list is again valid for 2 years. If there's any higher than that time, you go off that eligibility list. There's a running eligibility list at all times, so there's never a day that there's not one there. Things have changed, obviously. We have a lot less people testing these days as we have in the past and dwindled down to less than a handful some years or sometimes every 2 years. For the past two testing periods, we've tested in between the 2 year period, making it where we've tested every year. That's done because we've had either a shortage of candidates or shortage of candidates who are available to go to work. We are again in that situation. I believe we started with about 8 candidates. We're down to 2. Those two that's on there, there's conditions that they would have to meet. And they would have further testing before they get hired. So we're really technically at 0 candidates on the list at the moment. So I believe it is important to keep candidates on the list just because we don't know what could happen. And you could run into a situation where those two that's on there may not pass or may not take it. So we would like to try to get that on a situation, situation where we're doing it annually. If we do that, as Commissioner Story said, I think it's the very wise thing to do to try to, it's the same company that does the police test and the fire test. Now, there are some different requirements as far as physical, but the written test, I believe, is the same. So they can come administer that test together. Fire testing applicants and police testing applicants could kind of go to a different area of the building. Both tests are already done at the Benton Fire Department anyway, so we house them. So it makes a lot of sense to do that. Now, my hope was that we were going to, I was going to come to you and ask you to do a test. We were going to get do the joint test this year. With the police test already scheduled for end of May, Saturday of May, it put us in a position where that couldn't happen this time. But it still doesn't put us in a situation where it's not needed for us. So it's about a 30-day to 45-day process by the time we get it out to the public, give them a 30-day window to get applications and turn them in, and then have that test. So if we were able to approve tonight, we would be probably talking about some type of end of June testing. Which, you know, in our book, we're always trying to stay prepared. So would be a wise thing to do. After this, I believe we could probably go to a dual testing, you know, day. So
the tests are, I mean, you look at the lists, I would assume that when both of the chiefs tested, our lists were double digits in depth, and that's not the case anymore. So this is essentially just a request to build a more robust
2004, list of depth. Yes, 2004, there were 27 applicants. 27 tests of line testing.
Yeah,
I don't know, lucky to get 5 to 8. So
that's the land three.
Yeah, right. That's, you know.
And had to get some through lateral in order to just keep staffing. So that, I mean, is there a particular time that would work? Like, I mean, I know we're looking at next spring or summer.
Or early summer. It's probably usually
I'd say June.
Of next year.
So I mean we'll address that. Let's circle back to the joint testing in the fall and get it on the books.
Yeah.
That way we can secure the outfit that actually tests them.
Right.
I mean, I think the joint testing would be the way to go.
Yeah. And just prepare to do it annually.
Yeah.
Unless for some reason something changes and they, you know, the state decides to provide some type of benefit that we see a flood of applicants again. But right now it's not happening. So.
That's fair.
So we're gonna.
You make a motion to do another test then for the fire department.
Yeah, I'll make the motion.
One second.
Test in June for the fire department, and then the following June we'll do the both departments.
Yeah, we'll circle back with the both departments and schedule a day.
It's $2,200 every time, police or the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's quite a bit of money, and if we can do it for half that, I'm for that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I make the motion.
I second.
Commissioner Cochran?
Yes.
Commissioner Story?
Yes.
Commissioner Garvelia?
No, it's this motion just for the
just for
fire.
The,
yeah, this is just for that.
Commissioner Cain?
Yes.
C, discussion and approval extending the residency of requirements for police officers. I know we have a hard time getting people to test for that lives in the county. Like I said last meeting, I think Mount Vernon's got 5 counties they're allowing. Marion's 20 from their square to Taylor Street. And I guess that's as a crow flies. I would like to see a 25-mile range. That puts Carbondale, Mount Vernon, McLeansboro, and all these departments that we might draw from, you know.
It's like 5 counties.
Mount Vernon's, yeah.
You'll get DuCoin with it.
Yeah, they will get DuCoin, DeSoto.
Oh, and South Marin.
Yeah.
Also help with lateral transfer.
Yeah. Yeah. So if somebody wants the lateral, they might want to do it. I make a motion to do the 25 miles.
Second.
Commissioner Cochran?
Yes.
Commissioner Story?
Yes.
Commissioner Garvelia?
Yes.
Commissioner Cain?
Yes.
It's not on the agenda, but y'all got a letter from Kyle Melvin and the police chief, Chris Funkhauser, where he has quit. He's now with the state police. So we got his letter today. So
2 weeks from now, act on it. Or,
you know, I mean, I don't have to do anything.
We don't have to do nothing on that.
No, just you're notifying the council.
Right. I'm just letting y'all know. So that's all I got.
Kyle's resigned.
That's
Chiefs, thank you.
Myself, Commissioner Kay's the Council of Finance. You have one payroll for May 9th totaling $113,928.67 with $89,738.80 out of the general and $24,189.87 out of the revenue fund. To make a motion to approve that.
Commissioner Kirkland?
Yes.
Commissioner Story?
Yes.
Commissioner Garvelia?
Yes.
Commissioner Gifford?
Yes. In front of you as well, you have a bill run. Following breakdowns from the AP fund, $314,687.81, from community events, $2,788 even, and $20,791.25 out of MFT, totaling $338,267.06. Full disclosure, there is a reimbursement for me for banners for the rodeo. They were done at cost. And the receipt to that is actually attached to the bill when you sign them. So I wanted to disclose that. I'll take any motions to approve those bills.
I make that motion.
A second.
Commissioner Cochran?
Yes.
Commissioner Story?
Yes.
Commissioner Garvelia?
Yes.
Commissioner Gifford?
I'm saying. And that's all I have from my seat. Tom, any updates?
No updates under me, Mayor, or me, Chris, but under the mayor. Just want you guys to know that the electric aggregation is coming due at the end of June. That's where you guys allow the mayor to sign off when that comes due. So this past week, it looks like Homefield Energy again was the low bid for a 12-month contract period. So it was basically run from July of this year to through June the next year. It's 12 months. The new rate's 11.76 cents per kilowatt hour. Understand that, you know, as far as residents go, everything stays the same. They have the right to opt out. They're automatically in the program, but they can opt out. Obviously, Ameren's will announce a rate at some juncture. If that rate's lower, then folks can opt out. If it's higher, then it probably makes sense to stay. So I just want you guys to know that that's going to be the same company, new rate starting in June. You can take your kids.
Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't see that the mayor had any purchase orders tonight, folks, but it looks like under C, concerning the possible closing of First Street Railroad crossing, I think we need to table that until the mayor gets back with the information he may have. So we need a motion and a second to table 9C.
Make a motion to table 9C.
Commissioner Cochran?
Yes.
Commissioner Story?
Yes.
Commissioner Garvelia?
Yes.
Commissioner Gifford?
Yes.
Anything else, Tom?
That's all I got.
Thank you. Anything for miscellaneous business?
Yeah, I was just going to update everybody on the fire hydrant testing. We approved it last time to begin the testing. Had a few challenges, obviously, with the weather, but we're working through it. A few challenges on the hydrants, but that's kind of as expected. We find the majority of our hydrants are from 1962 to 1974. So they're all getting quite a bit of age on them and 4 or 5 coats of paint. And so but we're getting them. There's not but one that's beat us yet. So with that being said, we'll continue doing those. I think we've touched about 110 fire hydrants as of today. We have to go back and test a good majority of those still, but certainly the process is new mapping. And then once we map them, then we get over there and we grease them, clean all the threads, and then put oil on top of them so that they open and close easily and really just put our eyes on them. So we're about 110 hydrants into that. With that being said, I will get a hold of Brooke. I'm going to try to get a public PSA release out here this week. As we start flowing them and testing them, it's going to be important to get it out to the public that says that, you know, they may notice some discoloration. And if they do, just run their cold water until it clears up. It could have an effect on your whites and some the laundry stuff. So it's important that we do get that out there. I will also release that, hopefully that she can put it on the Facebook page or the website every week, kind of saying what area we're in, so people can kind of pencil down if they're under concern for that week or not. We'll do that also on our Facebook page.
You're doing food grade stuff.
Yep, everything by NFPA and by law, everything that touches our water system must be food grade. So, you know, we had to make some orders and get some food grade grease and things like that, but it's not been an issue so far.
Old business?
Yes. I got a bunch. Grass, people throwing grass out the streets mowing. Across from the fire station this morning, I seen our code enforcement guy went in and got on to Childers about the grass. It's that high and probably from here to the wall. It's all over town. Next, generators running in the city of Benton with no power. No water hookup, no power hookups. We're gonna have to do something. I think Ameren gives in so many hours after, if your power's turned off, to do something about it. I don't know. Tom says there's not much that we can do about that.
Folks like to live off the grid now.
The other thing, campers, there's more campers in this town that you can check the stick at. I don't know what we can do about it. I think we got an ordinance on it.
I think these are conversations you need to have with Caleb. Thus far what you mentioned, all three of those.
We've had, but we're gonna have to look at stuff like that. We need to post it on our webpage, I think. The generators are running crazy all over town because people's not paying their light bill. And if they don't have lights, they're not paying the water either, so. I just want to let that out. That's all.
Anybody else for old business? Any new business? Matters from the public?
Caleb, my last question you got. I just bought a house 2 years ago over there in Benton.
Where at?
307 on South Studio Street. My next door neighbor's got an empty lot. They will not clean it up. The grass is already out of control. I've talked to Caleb 3 times about this already. And the dead tree has done fell and totaled my garage completely. I've got pictures of it. I just left with all your losses over there. Did I refuse to take any responsibility for anything? And is there anything I can do? Because the next tree limb that comes off that tree, it's gonna wipe my house completely out. And if my boys inside are, I would kill them. Because they had called me at work the last storm we had when that tree limb fell, and it took me completely out.
What is the address?
307 South DuCoin Street.
307 South DuCoin?
Yes. It's an empty lot right next. Some woman, I keep talking to her, but it's not her name. It's some Gonzalez's name. I can't get a hold of them. Caleb gave me his phone number. They don't answer. Nobody will get a hold of me. I called my insurance company. They want me to pay the $1,500. Every time this tree falls, I'm up to tear it up.
Has the code enforcement been out there?
I don't think so. He's supposed to put signs up, and he's not done that yet.
He's running crazy. I mean, this town's full of stuff.
Yes, and the whole backyard of it is.
He's done the best he can do with what he's got. I mean, he is very busy.
Yes, I have.
I will talk to him tomorrow, I promise you.
And I talked to him again, in the back, all that rubbish they've got in the back, he's got gophers, possums or something. It has got underneath my house. Well, they had built new additions on it and put all that sand out and lit my ductwork down for my furnaces. I can't get them to do nothing. The only thing she will say, we're not paying for nothing, act of God. That's all I can get from you.
I'll talk to him tomorrow.
I talked to Dan Cavanaugh. He told me to come up to courthouse and get what they call small claims thing. Because he don't think it will be over LN or $10,000 or damage, whatever, and do a small claims to that guy. He said he'd be liable for that.
That's 307 South DuCoin.
Yes.
I'll be on that tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next.
You just want me to stand here?
If you would stand, take the podium.
Okay. That will be mine.
Yeah.
So my name's.
Real quick, before we get going, what is the ordinance, Tom?
Five.
Five minutes.
Okay, I won't take that long. I don't talk a lot.
In case there was more that wanted to speak, we wanted to make sure everyone got their time and we weren't giving someone more or less, so.
So my name's Paula R. Posey, and I'm a resident of Benton. My family has owned a real estate brokerage business in the city of Benton for 33 years. For the last 22, I've worked with my dad, Paul, at that real estate brokerage business. I was on the zoning planning commission up until last month. Last Monday, I received an email from the zoning administrator, Brian, stating that my term had expired and I was no longer eligible due to a new ordinance that was passed. I think it's 2501. So he did attach a copy of that ordinance for me to review. And in that ordinance, it talks about exclusions to the Zoning Planning Commission Board. Those exclusions are all in the real estate industry, including mortgage lenders, real estate attorneys, real estate agents, and title companies. So that was just a bit concerning to me because all of these fields are educated and know the effects of what zoning changes can do on current landowners or future developments for the city. I reached out to the mayor, which unfortunately isn't here tonight, and he stated, Commissioner Case, that you're the one spearheading this ordinance. So I just kind of wanted to know what research was done to determine that those occupations cause more of a conflict of interest than others.
From my standpoint, there's a financial conflict of interest for all of those that are listed.
Okay.
They all either receive a commission from the purchase or the sale, the issue of title insurance, the mortgage itself. All of those equate a financial conflict of interest.
Correct. Only if the person coming before that board for a special use permit or something is affiliated with that person's business.
Correct. However, this is a proactive policy, not a reactive policy. I get that you have the ability to abstain, but participation and discussion still goes on. If there was complete recusal, that would be one thing, but I don't think that happens very often. And I wish I had the stats with me. I wish I had gotten them from Brian this afternoon, but roughly 66% of all actionable items that make it in front of the Zoning and Planning Commission revolve around the sale of real property.
But if you'll look at the last several years when I've been a member, compared to what I had a conflict of interest, compared to other members that had nothing to do their occupation with the real estate field, they actually had more conflicts than I did. I was the only member of those professions listed on this commission in the last several years. So you can look back to see what conflicts were there. Unfortunately, in a small community with very little people that want to volunteer, there's a very limited number of people that sit on these different boards and commissions. So unfortunately, we're going to find that conflict, whether they're a real estate agent or they're a plumber. So basically, I came here tonight to ask for the ordinance to be amended and for those to be removed. My time on the commission is done, but I want the citizens of Benton to have the best, most educated people on their councils and commissions. And who is more educated in that field than all four of those occupations listed?
Am I able to add something? Can I bring you to something?
Well, that's all I had to say tonight. So if I could give it to somebody else, I would love to do that. And I do appreciate you guys letting me talk.
Thank you.
Yeah, I literally will take 2 seconds. So I'm Lauren Johnson, obviously on the mortgage side. And Paula reached out to me about her concerns. And it's funny because I actually just dealt with the zoning issue with Brian. That I know you guys amended and voted on the last city council meeting. But my question was, how is surveying different? It's like Mr. Chocolate is a surveyor, correct? So that's why I was just curious, like, does that not fit in the basket? But I also wanted just to make sure y'all are aware, like the city of Marion has a lender on their zoning board. And like for city of St. Louis, they require somebody in the real estate field. And it's not necessarily to be conflict of interest. It's we're in the trenches of that on the day in, day out. And like when we're looking at the B2 zoning district, I reach out to Brian and I'm like, hey, you can't get a residential mortgage on this. But that doesn't just benefit me, that benefits people's every bank in town to help sell those homes. And so it's not looking at it like from a home finder's perspective. It's looking at it from like Benton perspective.
Yeah.
And we're all the time comparing ourselves to Marion. Like I know everybody's like, oh, Marion, big brother that won't go away. But it's like they allow it, so why can't we? I guess, how can they work for it?
I understand exactly what you're saying about the survey piece.
Yeah.
And I can tell you right now that, like, this, to be fair, like, I hope everyone noticed if you looked at a copy of 2501 that you saw that the city council was also placed inside of this ordinance, as we did not
exclude ourselves from this because we should be held to the highest standard out of anybody.
Yeah.
That has a voting interest in anything. Ultimately, we either approve or deny what is brought in front of us from the zoning and planning commission or any of the other advisory boards. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
And I actually had that conversation today and have began to craft some stuff that would also include that, especially in the situation where, you know, if it's a surveyor and they worked for our, if they work for our contracted city engineer in that situation, having them do the survey changes nothing because they're already our civil engineer. Now, if they work for outside civil engineer and they force mm-hmm. them to go get that, or we dictate, hey, you have to have a survey. And if we dictate as a municipality, hey, you have to have a survey and you have to use the city engineer. Mm-hmm. We've already established if that's our engineer. I think that is well within our parameters to do. But if it's, hey, you need to go get a survey, come to my company. That is not the city engineer. I absolutely have an issue with that because the same thing you just said, there was a conflict of interest. This was more about being preemptive and not reactionary.
Yeah. My point was, it's just like these other cities around us are doing it and actually requiring it. So it's like, that was my whole thing.
Chris, that's another question.
Have we got anybody else before we?
I'm sorry.
Can I go?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the letter I created for each one of you and the email I received. So everyone will have the same information.
Sure.
I'd like to have this entered in as part of the minutes if I could.
That's okay.
So I'm Teresa Bates, in case you don't know who I am. I was the secretary of the zoning commission for the past 4 years, and if you read my letter, I'm going to read it as swiftly as I can and let you go. To the mayor and the members of the city council, I was informed on email from Mr. Calcaterra last week on Monday, May 5th, 2025 at 3:38 p.m. that my term on the zoning and planning commission had expired April 12th, 2025. I believe I served professionally on the commission as the secretary the last 4 years and missed one meeting on December 3rd, 2024 due to a medical appointment in Springfield. In fact, I made sure the previous minutes and any other documents needed were available to the members of the commission prior to the meeting. I also contacted Mr. Calcaterra and Mr. Shockley to notify them of my upcoming absence and made arrangements to have Mr. Posse, thank you, Paula, act as secretary for the meeting on December 3rd. Therefore, I should have received prior notice regarding the expiration of the term instead of two days before the meeting on May 7th. I feel that this was unprofessional. If Mr. Calcaterra knew the date of the expiration of my term, he was in contact with me throughout the month of April and could discuss this with me sooner. There's no anger on my part, just disappointment in how this was handled. I thought the board worked well and always strived to complete the work entrusted to us in a timely, professional manner. This was an unfortunate situation. In fact, I was advised by three members of council that they were unaware I was now continuing on the board along with Ms. Parpasa. This caused the members of the board, including the chair, to incorrectly believe that we had resigned. As a result of this, there were insufficient members for a quorum on May 7th. This resulted in no action on any of the items on the agenda, such as including a special use permit for a member of the community that paid $400 for on March 18th. I would hope that the city would provide a refund to this party, as he will be asked to wait another month to obtain the permit. I prepared and printed the documents prior to the meeting of May 7th, 2025, with no advance knowledge that I'm not expected to attend. I think it was just very unfortunate that I wasn't getting advance notice. I communicated back and forth with Brian throughout the month. I prepared all the documents. I gave him copies of everything at my own expense to make sure he had all everything that was needed. I sent everything back and forth to Victor and Brian for their approval, including the memorandums that you would receive in your packets prior to this particular meeting if that zoning change had happened. I went back to the library every time after the meeting was done to make sure that any documents were ready. And I think he could have taken the time, or someone could have taken the time to reach out to us prior to for that time to allow some type of continuation. But man, unfortunately, paid $400 in March, didn't get the services. We won't get them until June. Because at this point, there's no meeting. Like I said, two members of the commission at least called me on Monday night and Tuesday and Wednesday. I received phone calls at different times asking if I was on it. I didn't resign. I didn't know that when my term was up, he never gave us that information. They sent every meeting, April 1st, and we didn't have a meeting because of the weather. But he never gave us an advance notification that our time was due to be done. I think that could have been a consideration. I'm not angry. I was disappointed with him. Because I would have continued on doing what I needed to do. And like I said, I can't say that I'm not aware that I made any mistakes in 4 years. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Most of you know me, I'm Paul Coons, better known as Bria's dad. But as she stated, we have had our own business in Benton, Illinois, 31 years. I've had my real estate license 50 years. I've been the president of the Egyptian Board of Realtors 3 different times. So to say that, we are very professional people. Paul again has abstained many times, and I'm sure with other members of the boards, they abstained. And Mr. Case, I understand, our commissioner's case, I understand that you're the one that spearheaded this. Okay. What provoked you to spearhead this ordinance? What started the ball rolling?
As a matter of fact, when I began to run, that's what spearheaded my, that's why I began, that's actually why I ran, was the amount of conflicts and nepotism that run around in municipal government is absolutely astronomical. So it started with a very easy, in June of 2023, I began the conversation and we began the process of drafting a nepotism ordinance. A month later, we installed a nepotism ordinance. I came back in September of 2024 and informed this council right here that, hey, now that we have done nepotism, we are going to go to the conflict of interest route because we had no codification outside of the compiled statutes that defined conflict of interest. Updated the council November 25th that I had begun to research and compile notes. We actually tabled a vote on March 24th. We had a draft ordinance and we had a couple of other pieces that we had looked at, that I had looked at and shared with some others. And then we installed it last meeting. It's very much about doing the due diligence of the public and managing conflict of interest. Far too often we see conflicts reacted to. Now it eliminates it should help, not entirely, but it should help eliminate potential conflicts before they ever arise. There should not be, those questions should not happen nearly as often now with this piece of code in place as it was prior.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. All these boards are made up of human people.
Mm-hmm.
These people have friends.
Mm-hmm.
These friends will be coming to the board, to the committees for permission to do something. You don't think that the friends of the people that are coming will have some type of conflict?
Oh, I have no doubt. It's a small town of 7,000. But here's the difference. Does the friend get any type of financial compensation for their vote?
Again, she abstains from anything that would be a compensation.
Okay.
Conflict.
To be fair, she abstains. 6 years down the road, she's not on the on the commission anymore, and you have somebody else there who chooses not to abstain. Mm-hmm. So does it become appropriate at that point to install an ordinance? I don't disagree with your thought. I mean, I get it. I get the argument for and against, but I feel it's easier to navigate these with the exclusions in place.
Well, there's lots of easier ways to navigate a lot of things.
And I think their knowledge would outweigh the negative parts. Mm-hmm. Because these people work in these fields every day, We know exactly what effect zoning changes and ordinances have on buyer's ability to finance or a seller's ability to sell or to bring new business to this town.
Or get mortgages.
I mean, it's.
We use Lauren as a resource all the time.
In the city of Bittenden too.
Yeah.
But we think we're totally wrong. And if it's an ordinance and these gentlemen passed it, it's ordinance, I guess. But we request again, as Paula said, that it be repealed or withdrawn and restudied as to the benefit of this. Because it's very, there's a lot of good unhappy people because of this, I can tell you right now. And us lifelong Bittenden, Illinois residents and own real estate in Bittenden, Illinois, you know, it doesn't sit very well with us when you slap us in the face like that. And by the way, we have to take training every 2 years to renew our license. Ethics training. Paul and I have both been on the ethics board of the Realtors Association. I've been on the state board. You're saying we're not ethical people is the way we derive it. But you don't want us on that board because we're not going to be ethical. So it hurts us very dearly.
I don't think it says that at all.
You wouldn't. You're the one that brought it up.
And you know what? This council passed it 4-0.
Sure they did.
So if you, I mean, yeah.
I think they should have done some research.
I think there'd been a little more research would have been good as to what we do, not just our title, real estate broker. You're throwing us all in one lump sum, and we're not that way at all. Again, we're proud of him. Bitten's got his own problems. You know, Don and I talked about that earlier. But that's not his problem.
But the Board of Realtors gave what? How much money?
$7,500. The Egyptian Board of Realtors donated an Illinois Association to Bitten City, to the Malkovich Park.
And believe me.
Because they want to
I
see Bitten better.
If I have anything to do with it and this doesn't get repealed or adjusted, that will stop. And also, too, we spend a lot of money in there. A lot of money. Taxes, remodeling our foreclosures, remodeling our rentals. Anyway, I think I'm wasting my time, but I think you were wrong. And again, I'm going to request one more time that it be repealed and restated.
No, thank you.
And find out what we do. I don't think you know.
Chris, so this means, and I don't know, this means that anybody that's in property management, rentals, whatever, cannot be on the board. Is that right?
We have professional exclusions. We chose to exclude a chunk of people who directly financially benefit from that position. If again, conflicts are going to arise in all forms and how we navigate them. We chose to be preemptive and discreet.
Is there anybody else before Commissioner Mr. Nace? I think she's on.
Yeah, she's.
That's all I have.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jonathan Nace. I am currently the vice chairman of the Appointing Commission. I come prepared and appear before you all tonight to appeal to your better angels of your nature to make a change in this ordinance. There, if you'll do some research, you'll look and see that the two largest cities in our southern Illinois region, Mount Vernon and Carbondale, and I'm not saying that you should do this. What I'm saying is this is how they deal with this conflict of interest. They have a small board that its job is that the person that has the conflict of interest will fill out a form explaining in detail what the conflict is. If it's a financial conflict of interest, if it's a conflict of interest dealing with friends or neighbors or whatever, they fill out that form. That board meets before the Planning Commission meets and makes a ruling whether or not that individual can even show up for the meeting. If they rule that they can't show up for that meeting, then while that issue is on the agenda for the Planning Commission, they do not show up for that meeting. They make sure that we have enough for a quorum and we proceed with that. I would recommend that this council take that into consideration I've served 15 years on the Benton Planning Commission in two different time periods. I enjoy being on the Planning Commission. I enjoy watching the city of Benton grow. And as the vice chairman of that organization, I think that there's a lot of things that we could have done had we known in advance that this was coming up. We could have done some of that research ourselves and informed you all so that you would know all the different ins and outs to help with the research that I'm sure you already did, Mr. Case. And I understand that. But you know, there are angles and things that we can deal with because this affects me. I spent 11 years working on the Benton Planning Commission with Don Brown. He has passed away, but he was a realtor broker. And he was our chairperson, and he was for a very long time. I want to say 7 or 8 years, maybe longer. And he served off and on. And there was others that are listed on this. I would like to see the council at least take a look at what I'm proposing. The second thing that I have has nothing to do with this ordinance or the Planning Commission. I was driving down 4th Street this afternoon, and I almost broke the axle out of my car. There's a spot in that road where it looks as if they had replaced the water line or something like that. It goes completely across that. It has sunk. It's probably 4, maybe 6 inches deep. And my tires rolled off into it because it's wide enough that the whole tire went in it. And I caught either the bumper or the bottom of my car somehow on the roadbed. All I'm requesting is that someone go down and take a look at that, maybe fill it with rock or something, so that others don't fall into the same problem I fell into.
I hit that 2 weeks ago driving down that road, and because we have our hot patch machine, correct?
Well, so, about the machine, we have hot patch. Well, I'll get that taken care of in the morning.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Bill Watkins, our superintendent, we'll get that taken care of.
Thank you so much.
Anybody else who hasn't spoke yet, if they intend, before we adjourn, the last thing I've got to say, guys, government is not static, it is fluid, okay? So ordinances can be amended, they can be changed, they can be repealed, they can be modified. Hell, in 2 years, you could have a brand new council, they may choose to throw all this crap out the window. Like, that's how government works. So if there is a push and we need to reevaluate it, that's fine. I'm not gonna freak out and throw a fit over reevaluating and going back. The Ethics Commission was something that I kind of thought of, but thought it would be another layer of bureaucracy to government.
Well, so, one of the things you could do, Mr. Case, is you could have that letter or that paper created, given to the zoning administrator, and he would give it to the city attorney who would present it in a city council meeting, and you guys would vote on whether or not that individual could be at that next meeting. Then you wouldn't have an extra layer of bureaucracy.
And that's fair.
You guys would be making that decision yourself, since you're basically going to be making the decision when my commission's done. You guys are going to actually make the final decision on that.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Do you have something to add?
I was going to, if you don't mind. I was just going to make a suggestion. I know Coy has been to our meetings because he was part of the Zoning Commission, but I would challenge anyone to come to the meetings, read through the minutes. I know there was probably maybe one occasion that Paula had to abstain, or that she did abstain. I apologize for saying that incorrectly. But like I said, you're welcome to go to any of the meetings and read through the minutes. And I would also ask to be reconsidered for a term on the commission.
Thank you.
Motion for a term. I made the motion to.
Oh, I am here.
I'll second it.
Commissioner Cochran?
Yes.
Commissioner Stewart?
Yes.
Commissioner Gerhardt?
Yes.
Commissioner Case?
Yes.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Well, thank you, guys.
Yeah.